أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. وآتوا اليتامى أموالهم ولا تتبدلوا الخبيث بالطيب ولا تأكلوا أموالهم إلى أموالكم إنه كان حوبا كبيرا.
Inshallah, we're going to have the new surah starting today, Surah An-Nisa. And as the title suggests, the meaning of An-Nisa is the women. And there are a lot of issues related to women and women's rights mentioned in this surah, which we are going to come across from time to time. And many issues such as the issue of marriage, the issues of divorce, the issues of inheritance, all of these things from which women were deprived of in the days of Jahiliyyah, they will be discussed, and all of the rights that the women are given in Islam, they will be brought forth. In addition to that, there are other issues mentioned in the surah. The issue related to, for example, al-yatama, the orphans. Issues related to polygamy, that is also mentioned in the surah. And like I said, as we come across those things, we will start to discuss them. It's mentioned, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that in Surah An-Nisa, there are five ayat, five very beautiful ayat, which if I had those ayat, or if I replaced those ayahs for the whole world, then I would not do that. Meaning, if I was given the whole world in response or in replacement of these verses, then I would not make a trade for them. What are those five ayahs? The first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. And it's not in order. These are various ayat littered throughout the, or mentioned throughout the surah. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not do dhulm equivalent to an atom. Meaning, He doesn't do any kind of dhulm, any kind of oppression at all. The next ayah, إِن تَجِتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرَ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. If you avoid the major sins that you are prevented from, or that have been forbidden to you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نُكَفِّرَ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. The rest of the minor sins, we will forgive them and we'll enter you into a gracious entrance, meaning into paradise. The only thing is, as a Muslim, what you should try to do is try to stay away from the major sins, and the rest of the time do your best to do good deeds, make sure you fulfill your salat and so on. And the result of this will be that minor indiscretions, minor mistakes that are made by you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive those things as long as you continue to stay away from the major sins. The third ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not forgive shirk, He does not forgive polytheism, but He forgives anything else, whatever He wants. And the next ayah, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Though the human beings, if they do dhulm upon themselves, meaning if they commit a mistake, if they commit a sin, and then after that, they come to you, O Prophet of Allah, and they seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, Allah will forgive them. And Allah will forgive them, and if the Prophet seeks forgiveness for them, they will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Tawwab and Rahim, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be forgiving and merciful towards those people if they are making a sincere istighfar. And the last ayah, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهَ يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Whoever does any bad deed, or he does dhulm upon himself, meaning he commits a sin, and then he makes istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a ghafoor and rahim. He will find him forgiving and merciful. So all of these ayat are related to forgiveness. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that if I had the whole world and whatever it contains, and I was told to, you know, just replace these ayahs, I would not do that. They're so valuable to me and they're so beautiful. And basically, a person, when he reads those ayat, then the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and His mercy become instilled in a person, and he hopes that despite the fact that we are committing sins day in, day out, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins because of these verses, because of His forgiveness. Now going on to the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the human beings. And He says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Not just the people of Iman, but all of humanity is being addressed here. And the humanity is being told, O people, fear your Lord. Have taqwa of your Lord. Have awareness of your Lord. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. It's He who created you from one soul. He created you from Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam was created, and from him all of his progeny has been created. We are all the children of Adam. All of humanity is the children of Adam. So our beliefs are not about evolution. There may be some kind of evolution that scientists have discovered, but that is not something that humans descended from. Humans descended from Adam alayhi salam, and whatever discoveries have been made about of apes and so on, we would regard them as separate creatures completely. They are not human beings. So Allah tells us in the Quran that we have been created from Adam alayhi salam, and we have to be very, very clear about that. And the Christians have the same belief, the Jews have the same belief. Any person who took the religion which was given by the prophets, he has exactly the same belief. So Allah says that that same Lord that created you from that one soul, fear Him. وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. And He created from that soul, that soul's spouse. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created from Adam alayhi salam, His wife. And the riwayat go that, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, and after creating Adam alayhi salam felt lonely, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while he was asleep, He took a rib from his side, and from that rib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created his wife Hawa. And as when he woke up, he found Hawa next to him, and he immediately became attracted to her, and she became attracted to him. And this was that that human being that needs companionship. The word insan, is derived from unsiyah. Unsiyah meaning companionship. Somebody who's called anis. Anis, somebody who likes companionship. So insan cannot be lonely. It is against the nature of a human being to be lonely. Always wants companionship in the form of a wife, in the form of children, in the form of relatives, in the form of friends. If a person stays alone, then it's most likely that he's going to become crazy. So many prisons, what do? When they really want to punish somebody, what do? Solitary confinement. Solitary confinement means you cannot talk to anybody, you cannot interact with anybody, and this is, you know, there's no torture involved other than that, but this in itself is a torture, that a human being is not allowed to interact with other human beings. Because the natural tendency of a human is to interact with people and have affection with people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا, and He created from that soul its spouse. And many feminists, they have an issue with this creation of Hawa from the rib of Adam alayhi salam. And this, you know, it's not something derogatory. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created her, and this is how it happened. So there's nothing derogatory about that. The human being himself was created from soil or clay. I mean, that's derogatory in itself. So for a woman to be created from the rib of Adam alayhi salam, there is nothing derogatory or shameful about that. And people who discount this hadith, which talks about the creation of Hawa, that has to be dismissed. And we have to take the hadith, which is a sahih hadith. It's mentioned in a hadith, إِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ خُلِقَتْ مِنْ ضِلْعَ. The woman, she is created from the rib of Adam alayhi salam, or she's created from a rib. وَإِنَّ أَعْوَجَ شَيْءٍ فِي الضِّلْعَ عَلَاهُ. The most bent part of the rib is the uppermost part. فَإِنْ ذَهَبْتَ تُقِيمُهُ كَسَرْتَهُ. If you try to straighten that rib, you're going to break it. Okay, so sometimes what happens with men, they feel they cannot understand women. Okay, this is the biggest complaint that we all have. Okay, we cannot understand women. So this is what the hadith is saying, that if you try to straighten a woman and you try to bring her along your own line of thinking, you will break the woman. Okay, so sometimes you just have to make the compromise and live with love and affection, as the Prophet ﷺ did. Do you think that the Prophet ﷺ never had problems with his marriages? He did have problems, but he showed sabr and patience. And he never ever raised his hand to beat his wives. And this hadith goes on to say that if you try to straighten your wife, then you're going to break that rib. And وَإِنْ اسْتَمْتَعْتَ بِهَا اسْتَمْتَعْتَ بِهَا وَفِيهَا عِوَجٍ. And if you want to benefit from her, continue to benefit from her while she has this crookedness in her. Okay, so this is something that we all have to live with. Okay, so this is not something that the women should be ashamed of themselves, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have created a tendency within women, and the reason for that tendency of being very emotional is because they have to be the mothers of their children. Okay? From a logical perspective, what happens when the father, wants to go to sleep, meaning the husband wants to go to sleep and the kids are sick? Who generally stays awake? The woman stays awake. The guy, the husband, he generally goes to sleep. Okay, now, even though there may not be something huge wrong with the child, but still that emotion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within the woman, it is there, that love, that affection, that illogical thinking in at that time when the child is sick, it is so that she can be a mother for her children. This is the reason that women have different emotions than men. Okay? Because they have to be mothers towards their children, and sometimes for that, logic goes out of the window. Okay? And we know what our sisters go through when it comes to looking after the children. They make so many sacrifices. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And He spread from them, many men and many women. So from the progeny of Adam alayhi salam were created many men and many women. And this is how it happened, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, when Adam alayhi salam and Hawa used to have children, then they used to have twins. Okay, each time that the Hawa had a child, it was twins. And from those twins, one person, the male, would marry the female from the other set of children, and the female would marry the male from this side of the children. So this was permissible for them, and it was not regarded as incest. And from there, the progeny of Adam alayhi salam became spread out, and from there we have all of the children of Adam alayhi salam and all of us that are sitting here today. So وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And He spread from them men, many men and women. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom you ask through Him. Meaning, in many cultures, in many languages, we have a way of pleading and begging. When we are imploring somebody for something important, then in many languages, you use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Arabic, for example, you say, Billahi alayk. I implore you in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Urdu we say, Khuda ke waste. When somebody gives you, in Urdu we say that if somebody gives you the Khuda ka waste, then you should do the thing that he is saying, because he is imploring you in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah is saying, Fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Him you ask each other things. You implore each other to do things. Okay, this is that same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why is it that when we use Allah's name and implore somebody using Allah's name, what does that mean? That means the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, being presented, and you should not, you know, reject that request which is being made in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is so great. So that same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should fear Him. Wal arham, and also fear the issue of arham, your relationships. Okay, so this surah, Surah An-Nisa, it talks a lot about relationships. So this is a prelude to that, that those relationships are going to be mentioned in this surah. So beware of your relationships means make sure that you enjoin good relationships with each other, with your relatives, with your spouses, with your children, with your parents. Make sure that your relationships are there. So fear those relationships. There will be an accountability of those relationships on the Day of Judgment also. Inna Allah kana alaykum raqiba. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the watcher over everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees whatever you do in all aspects, whether those things are related to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or those things are related to the rights of your relatives. Allah is watching, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, that means there will be an accountability for it. Don't think that you are not going to be held accountable for what you do in this world and how you deal with your relatives. You will be held accountable. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآتُ الْيَتَامَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ, and give the orphans their wealth. And this is something that was common in those days, that there was a lot of warfare, a lot of killing. So naturally there were a lot of orphans. And when there were orphans, people used to take advantage of them. Sometimes there's an orphan, he's been left with a great inheritance, and because of his immaturity, he is basically, he doesn't know what to do with the wealth. And so the people who take over the care of the orphan, they basically start mishandling and misusing the wealth of that orphan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, don't do that. وَآتُ الْيَتَامَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ, give the orphans their wealth. And later on in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually says when the wealth is supposed to be given. Okay, when they reach a mature age and they become a little bit more sensible, you're supposed to give them that whole the whole responsibility of taking care of their wealth. But before that, when you are taking care of it, they're immature, then make sure that you don't misuse that wealth. You can use that wealth for their sustenance, for their clothing, for their shelter and so on, but you cannot use it for your own good. Okay, so وَآتُ الْيَتَامَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ, and give the orphans their wealth. وَلَا تَتَبَدَّلُ الْخَبِيثَ بِالطَّيِّبِ, and don't exchange the khabith, the impure thing, with the pure thing. Don't exchange the impure thing with the pure thing, meaning that the wealth that you have, which is halal and pure, don't mix it with their inheritance, which if you do mix it, then you are doing something haram. And you are exchanging the pure wealth that you have with something which is impure. There are a few interpretations of this. Sufyan al-Thawri says, لَا تُعَجِّلْ بِالرِّزْقِ الْحَرَامِ قَبْلَ أَن يَأْتِيَكَ الرِّزْقُ الْحَلَالُ الَّذِي قَدَّرَ لَكَ. What happens is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has fixed a sustenance for you. The actions that you take will make that sustenance either halal or haram. There's a story which is related about Ali radiallahu anhu, that once he was traveling somewhere and he stopped at a place and he gave his horse to somebody to look after. He said, just wait here for a few minutes, I'll be back. Just look after my horse while I'm gone. So he came out after a few minutes. The horse is there, but the saddle and everything is gone. He was astonished that this person has taken off with my saddle. So he went further down the road. He found a third person. He's sitting on the side of the road selling that saddle. So he said, where did you get this saddle from? He said, that such and such a person came and sold it to me. For how much? For X amount of money. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, subhanallah, I was going to give him the exact amount of money for looking after my horse. But he wanted what? He wanted that risk to come to him quickly, and instead of making it halal, he made that risk haram. Okay, so the risk is written for us. The means that we adopt either make that risk halal or it makes that rizq haram. So it's important that if we are going through hardships and there are situations arising which are pushing us towards the haram, we try to avoid them with the complete iman and conviction and faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, inshallah, give us from the halal that is written for us. So this is one opinion. Sa'id ibn Jubayr says, لا تتبدل الحرام من أموال الناس بالحلال من أموالكم. Don't exchange from the wealth of the people for the halal from your wealth. Meaning, taking other people's wealth which you are not worthy of or which you have no right to, and you make that halal wealth which you have in your possession, you make it haram by taking from other people's wealth, by stealing from them or borrowing from them and not returning from them, or taking things without permission. Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib says, لَا تُعْتِ مَهَزُولًا وَتَأْخُذْ سَمِينًا. Don't give a weak animal and you take a fat animal. Okay, so in situations, and this is mentioned, that what they used to do, that this orphan, for example, he's inherited a lot of good, healthy animals. Okay, so he sees those healthy animals and he exchanges them for weak animals that are in his possession. So this verse means that don't exchange the weak animals for the healthy animals. And there are a few more opinions and a few more interpretations of this, but they are basically along the same lines, that the halal wealth, you should go for that, and don't use anybody else's wealth, which is haram. Otherwise, your own sustenance also becomes haram also. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ. Don't consume their wealth in addition to your wealth. Meaning, don't mix their wealth, meaning the orphan's wealth, with your wealth, because this is a sin. And it goes on to say, إِنَّهُ كَانَ حُوبًا كَبِيرًا. It is this thing of mixing the wealth, it is a big sin. The word hub is being mentioned in one hadith in Sunnah Abu Dawood. The Prophet ﷺ said in a dua, اغفر لنا حوبنا وخطايانا. Oh Allah, forgive for us our hub, our sins, and khataya, our mistakes. And in another hadith, it's mentioned from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, he divorced his wife. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, Ya Abu Ayyub, Inna talaqa ummi Ayyub kana huban. Oh Abu Ayyub, the divorce that you gave to the mother of Ayyub, meaning your wife, it was a hub, meaning it was a sin, it was incorrect and wrong for you to do that. So, it's mentioned that Abu Ayyub Ansari, he took her back, and basically he took back his divorce. So, after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts talking about the rights of orphans and the issue of polygamy, which is a lengthy discussion. So inshallah, we're going to talk about that next week. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand what has been said and heard.